stop.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps. Back from summer break. We kind of forgot there's a show, actually, but here we are, two of us. Mm-hmm. Cole is out busy, and Tyler, as you remember, is going to be taking some time away as he welcomes another children.
Having a kid. Children
into the world. But with us, obviously, is Joe, our co-host. Perfect. Joe, first off, how's your week been? And then I'll have a follow-up question, since, you know, that's a...
Playing in for Cole for how my week's been. It's, you know, Tuesday. It's pretty decent weather, you know. I don't have any, you know, I mean, I don't really work outdoors or have anything to do with outdoors, so it doesn't really matter much to me. But,
yeah. But the weather's good.
Yeah, weather's good so far. Yeah, weather's good so far.
It's good for the car. It's good for your car. Does car feel good with the cooler weather?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's I take summer weather over snow any day. And then, Minnesota State Fair is coming up. That's this week as well. God. So, you know, ramping up to some fun, getting close to August.
Are you going to get to the fair?
I am actually. We're doing a team outing at work, so I will get get there once. Yeah.
All right. Sweet. What's your favorite food at the fair? Is it on a stick?
In previous years, it's been like fried pickles.
It's a different category.
Yeah, it's been like fried pickles or the Sweet Martha's cookies. You just can't go.
Oh, the Sweet Martha's. Yeah, that's do you get the bucket?
Of course.
The bucket of cookies.
Monster.
So for those that don't know, at the Minnesota State Fair, you get Sweet Martha's cookies. It's a bucket, like an ice cream bucket, kind of. But then they fill that up, and then they pile more cookies on top of it. So you got to eat like 20 cookies, seriously, to shut the thing.
Yeah, 10 to 15 just to shut it. So, yeah, I'm normally, like, I'm having a couple, and then, yeah, I'm just, like, a balancing act on the way home. So
a balancing
act. Yeah, I'm hoping to get a bucket and then spread the wealth amongst my family.
For sure, sure. No, I'm looking forward to the fair, too. I will definitely be attending next week. What have you been doing the last 3 weeks since we've been on F1 summer break?
Yeah, F1 summer break. It's, you know, weirdly enough, I've been doing more like content stuff. So like my weekends have not been any less busy. It's a little bit of a blessing that I was so busy because I didn't have to, you know, find time to watch races or, you know, decline things so I could watch the race, which I have definitely done before. But, I still got a little racing in. I think it was like first weekend of August. I went to Road America in Wisconsin to see the sports car races. It's where I got this hat and a couple of these stickers here. It was a fun time. Yeah,
what do you got?
I Heart Road America, which I think was just
classic.
Given to me.
That's classic.
Yeah, I got this like cartoon anvil thing, and then I also got where I got the hat. There was a McLaren that was driving in the race by Pfaff Motorsports, so that's where I got the hat from.
Okay.
A lot of merch from that booth.
Oh yeah, you bought a lot of merch from that booth.
I bought a lot of merch from that booth. Yeah, and I always look out for F1 stuff.
For sure.
I missed a couple of like F1 stickers that I could have gotten. I do have a Lando Norris like kind of cartoon sticker that I'm probably going to put here. I went out, looked out for hats for you, man, but they were just very low this year. I couldn't find anything.
And finding me an Alpine Gasly hat is probably tough around these parts.
I mean, they had to like, usually they have a couple more teams. Like, they at least have like the big four, but like they didn't have anything this year. So
for sure.
Got away with a couple McLaren hats and a few stickers, and I think got like a water bottle or something. Saw some cars race around Road America. It's a really fun track.
For sure. Nice. Heck yeah. I know for me in the summer break, it was just I coach high school football here locally, so that has started, and that takes up a lot of my time as well as work. So just, you know, normal stuff for me, but we're happy to be back. Happy to be back with a fast laps episode. If you tuned in, was it last week? I think it was last week. We had an NFL preseason show. Obviously with the NFL season coming up, if you watch American football with the NFL, tune into that.
How'd the first episode go?
It went well. It went well. We're excited. We're going to have a revolving door of guests. So that's exciting.
Awesome.
So, you know, we're just Minnesota fans primarily, but we do talk about the league as a whole. So then rotating guests of different teams. It's going to be a great time this season for sure. But with that, let's get back to F1 obviously, and kind of head to our summer break recap. We're going to call it backslash news.
Yeah.
Backslash news transition. right, then to start off the news, we're going to start by talking about Alpine, actually. What was his name? Bruno Famin?
Yep.
The interim team principal. We knew he was out heading into summer break, and pretty much, what did you say, right after break is when the Oliver Oaks news kind of hit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. One thing to note that I saw that kind of stuck out to me was that the dude's only 36 years old.
Yeah.
Which is kind of young for team principal.
I have a fun fact, actually.
Lay it on me.
Guess how old Christian Horner was when he became team principal.
I have no idea.
31.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen videos. I was not watching F1 at the, you know, early when they were, when they,
so how long has he been team principal? Like 18, some 20
long
years?
Time. Yeah. I read 2005 is when he became team principal.
Jeez.
But like around the, like the Red Bull, like, I mean, he was obviously in his 30s at this point, but like when Vettel was winning with Red Bull, he looks like a baby compared to how he looks
now. I gotta go look up a picture of him.
Which is crazy. Yeah, but 31. Yeah, still 36. Very young. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we see any like big tweaks coming for Alpine with the hire of a new team principal, or is this more or less planning for the future at this point?
I mean, definitely. I mean, probably a bit of both, right? Like, Bruno Famin is not supposed to be team principal. He stepped in because Otmar was not doing well. He was never supposed to be team principal.
Is he staying with them? Did he
should
go back to his, what was his original role? I don't even know.
It was like CTO, like technical officer.
Okay, do you think he'd go back to that?
I would imagine he would.
Yeah, or at least be given the option to, I would hope.
Yeah, I think, I think he was probably fine as team principal. I just don't think, like, he wasn't supposed to be it. And also, I don't think he's great for PR either, unfortunately.
Sure, so fair enough,
they probably
which
want
is a
someone,
thing.
Yeah, 100%
especially
is.
Especially for F1.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, they probably want someone who, you know, is, you know, stationed to be a team principal in that spot. Where does Oakley come from? Is he coming from Red Bull?
Oaks. Oliver Oaks. Sorry. I don't know where he comes from, but I think he's a former F1 driver, if I'm not mistaken. Which, not to go off topic again with Horner, but did Horner ever race like at the top level of F1?
I don't think he ever raced at the top level, but he definitely raced.
Oliver Oaks. GP3 a little bit, 2010.
What was his last
British position? F3 was in 2008-09.
Okay.
So it's been a minute. But he worked his way up, Formula BMW UK, Formula Renault, Euro Cup, International Formula, and then Formula 3, Euro, and then British
F3. He's been with, like, Renault and the Euro kind of teams for a while. Okay, that makes sense. So instead of getting swapped over from a different team, he just kind of built his way up to it.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Yeah, so, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know much about Oliver Oaks.
I don't either. Yeah. Never heard of the guy.
Now that I'm going to try to be an Alpine fan, since Gasly's there for a minute, I guess I should probably figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'll get it together. Poor fandom.
I mean, you know, we'll learn about him in next year's Drive to Survive.
For sure we will. For sure we will, of course. Moving right along here, actually going to talk a little bit about Red Bull. Jonathan Wheatley, Red Bull's sporting director, is set to leave at the end of the season to become Audi's team principal. I think they're going to be called Audi Works. Oh, I did put that later. But then it's just like, well, what about, I don't even remember how to say his name. Binotto?
Matteo Binotto.
Binotto.
Yeah, Binotto. Yeah, I think it's Binotto.
We should figure that out, too. Start making a list of names that we need to figure out.
I brought up the pronunciation. I actually looked it up. Like, I had the you know, computer speak to me what his name was. And, yeah, that was, you know, Binotto. Obviously a summer ago. So
fair enough.
Binotto or something like that. Yeah, so, for a while, I actually remember bringing this up. Like, I couldn't find if he was supposed to be team principal.
Right,
or if he
remember that.
Yeah, so we talked about this. Apparently, he's not being team principal. This guy is. I looked up what his position is, and just like it said beforehand, I thought maybe they were, you know, concurrent with each other, team principal and this. But he's COO and CTO, which is chief operating and then chief technical officer.
So who gets final say, or is it like a board, or how does that work with the F1? You know what I mean?
I would imagine when it comes to like the racing, it's going to be
like on race day, it's team principal.
It's got to be Wheatley, just like in terms of, you know, race decisions, team orders, all that fun stuff.
Right.
I would imagine Binotto is just upper management at this point.
Yeah, kind of oversees the whole thing.
Probably Audi a little bit, but still upper management. So I would imagine he doesn't have a ton of say. Okay. But, you know, I don't know.
So
I do think he's probably going to be seen a lot more because I think he's good for PR. Like, I think people know his face. Oh, he's
definitely, they definitely know his face, and he's that's all like thanks to Drive to Survive.
Maybe, so.
For sure. I think 100% he is. You know, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that is more of like a PR move, knowing he can probably do the job just fine too. But, that's interesting. Yeah. His face is going to be back all over Drive to Survive
too. I'm sure. At least a little bit, right? We'll see. I mean, we still have so much unknown about Audi. Like,
I know. It's exciting, actually.
It's getting closer, though.
I could be a fan of that team.
You could. I
should jump on the bandwagon right off the get-go. Yeah.
I'm going to. Right out the gate, I'm going to be a fan of them.
No more McLaren. Done. Screw Lando.
Whoa. I have too many McLaren hats to do that.
I spent way too much of the McLaren tent.
I basically bought their next car, okay? I'm not... No. I'm going to be like... I'm going to like them, though. I don't, like, hate the brand or anything. Like, so I'm going to automatically like them coming in.
For sure.
I'm excited to see, for the first time, me watching... Well, I guess I saw Aston Martin take over Racing Point, so I guess that's not this isn't true. But like being as involved in
that wasn't as exciting to me. But
yeah, exactly.
And maybe because we live over here, maybe it's exciting over there.
Yeah,
because Aston, you know, I don't know.
It was just because it was. I think maybe we also saw that transition. I saw that transition. I mean, Audi's over there too, but right. So I didn't. I saw it through the lens of DTS and not live. So maybe Audi thing. Okay. Now that I'm super involved in F1 and we've been like talking about it for so long and we're going to now see it happen live, I think I'm probably a little bit more invested into
it. Well, and when Aston was Racing Point, all I can remember about Racing Point is the
owner and the
whole deal. Yeah. I say I can remember it. Now I can't remember it. Classic. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you guys know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying. Staying with Red Bull though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of as expected, as we kind of talked about already, Checo's seat was safe heading into summer as far as maybe downgrading to a V-carb, downgrade. But and now, you know, obviously we're back and that seems to be true. He is keeping his seat in there, you know, backing him up. Is this possibly, I don't want to say a mistake for Red Bull, but like if they want to win the Constructors, and we'll get to McLaren in a second, but... If they want to win the Constructors, is this the smartest move for them to keep Checo in the seat over, say, would Danny Ric do any better right now, do you think? Or Yuki? Would that even be a good move? To win the Constructors specifically.
To win the Constructors specifically, he should have been out long ago, I believe. I mean, there's an argument to say he should stay with the team for the rest of the year, and I can absolutely see sides of that, and I can side for part of that. There is no argument, in my opinion, for why he should stay for like 1 plus 2 years. Like, that's crazy to me.
Like, you don't think he should start 2025?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, no, he should not start 2025. The thought that they even have a contract where he's possibility in the car for 2026 is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So in terms of if he should be racing after break, he's not going to help them when it comes to Constructors. Hopefully he's worked on himself a bit during the summer and he comes back swinging better.
I hear you.
I mean, I say that, but we saw, you know, the whole Sergeant, you know, like he worked on himself over like winter break and he came back the same driver. He was definitely better, but he's not performing.
What do you think it is though for Checo? Do you think it's like mental mistakes? Do you think there's more and more pressure, especially now with the new deal in place? Like, do you think he's feeling some of that pressure maybe for the first time since he's been in the Red Bull? Because this is definitely, you know, this season is the worst he's raced in the Red Bull, I believe.
Yeah, it's the worst. I mean, I feel like it's probably the worst he's raced in, like, a while.
Right.
I can't fact check that, but I'm sure there has been pressure, and I'm sure it's, like, I can only imagine the worse you do, the more pressure you get to, like, perform, to, like, prove yourself and prove you're worth the seat. To kind of side with him a little bit in terms of why he shouldn't be swapped out, I just feel like it's risky not knowing enough about Danny Ric and Tsunoda. Seeing them race and obviously having that to go off of, I think they probably still need a little bit more time to get to that level, maybe.
For sure.
Like, let's say right out of the gate, Tsunoda and Danny Ric getting points consistently every single race, I think that decision's way easier. They swap Checo in for one of them and they call it a day. but because they haven't been at that point, and maybe it's the car doing it, either way, I think they both made some mistakes.
Just makes it harder.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it so much harder.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think you give them, and I'm just spitballing
here. Yeah.
But I think you give them, like, three races. Checo, coming out of break. Like, if you can finish, you got to finish six or better.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Checo, you have to. Like, there's you have one of the better cars, as far as we know, on the grid. We know McLaren's charging and Mercedes is right there. That's what I'm saying, sixth. I think you still have to finish in front of the Ferraris right now.
Sure.
Charles, you know, based on skill, could finish in front of Checo. So maybe I'll give him a pity point for seventh.
Yeah.
But you have to be finishing up there, and I just, we're not seeing it. And yeah. That, I just, if he finishes out of points at all within those three races, I think you got to put somebody else in the car. And at this point in the season, let's say it's three races from now, now it's Danny Ric for me. Mm-hmm. If it was coming out of summer break, I'd say Yuki just to give him a shot, like fresh. And I can't remember when they took, was it Albon out of the car for
Pierre?
Yeah, they took Pierre out of the car and put Albon in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that during summer break? I can't remember. I know that's really reaching, and it's, I know it's a while ago, but like, I just feel like that's the time for that move.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're serious about the constructors with how hard McLaren's charging.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking maybe Red Bull isn't serious about it. They want, you know, the championship and that's it. I'm not sure, though.
Which they probably still will get the driver championship.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I, unfortunately, no matter what, I think Max is going to take the driver championship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really hoping Lando or who's the next closest? Is it? No, we like just talked about this.
I know, a few literally weeks ago. The other. Oh, I have it up. I have it up from the last show.
We know Lando's the closest, right?
Charles.
I don't. Charles
is 22 points behind Lando.
I don't think Charles is going to get that. Unfortunately, with the Ferrari.
You think he could reach Lando? Probably not.
The Ferrari needs to get better. Like, yeah. Just straight up. Like I think Charles as a driver, absolutely, he can do
sure.
it.
But the car,
with the current Ferrari, probably not. So I just want to see Lando get as close as he possibly can.
And just secure second place, iron it.
I just want him to secure second place.
Which would be sweet.
Yeah, come back next year in hopefully a good car that can face off to Red Bull. But I think Max probably has it. Kind of just going back to Red Bull as a whole. Yeah, I don't... So you think three races just to see if Sergio can do it. I would even go as further as saying, like, yeah, sixth place. I think... Do you think they have to, or do you think they are comparing him to Max when considering if he should stay? Because obviously Max is.
I don't think you can. Know,
he's tracks ahead of Checo.
Yeah, for sure. Right? We know that. But like you're saying,
so are you saying you have to hit this specific placement, or you have to be within Max, right? Because Max is 100% the standard.
I think we're already past the part of being within this window of Max. Sure. I think that is already. Was probably already a thing, like you guys have been mentioning all season. And I think that just has passed. And now that they're sticking with them, maybe they're adjusting it. Now they're like, oh, now you got to finish.
It just
where was he in the drivers?
Right?
Because he's got to finish.
He's tumbling, dude.
I know. He's in seventh right now, last I knew. Yeah, so he's in seventh. He's 19 points behind Lewis.
Who's behind him?
Who's behind Checo?
Yeah.
George Russell.
With?
15 points behind him. George will catch him if he's not careful. That's why I'm saying it's only three races, dude. For me, I think I can only give him three races.
I think that's fair. I think they're probably going to give him the rest of the season.
They probably will.
Yeah. And it'll just kind of depend on where he ends up.
If they do give him the rest of the season, they got to swap him. I don't know who you swap him for. I don't think Danny Ric showed me enough this year that, yes, I'm 100% inking Danny Ric to start in the season in the Red Bull next year.
Red Bull is just in... Like
they're in a weird
spot.
They're in a weird spot right now.
Really weird spot.
And I mean that leads me into my next thing about Red Bull, kind of like with Newey leaving, with now Wheatley leaving. Does that factor in at all to Verstappen's future? Like, does he care about it that much, or does he just like, I just want a fast car. Whoever can give it to me, I'm just gonna drive that thing.
Man, it's so hard to read Max. I think if the other guys were here, they would say that he wants the fast car. But like, I just don't know how committed he is to Red Bull. I feel like he's got to be like really committed. I know there was all turmoil earlier.
Or would he just retire and be like, I've I've done
There's
what I can
no
do.
There's no way he's retiring. There's no way. Max races in two different.
He signed through 2025.
Yeah. So he races in two different sports at the same time before he retires. He's crazy like that.
Yeah. True.
I don't know. I don't think it obviously helps, but there's a world where Max just doesn't care. Like Wheatley leaves, he doesn't really care about that. You know?
That's what I mean. I don't think he does, but like, should it be a concern though that there's changes happening when you've been producing a championship level car? Like, kind of want that to keep going.
100%. I think, yeah. I mean,
he's still only 26 years old. Yeah, I thought he was like 29, Max.
Oh, yeah, he's.
I feel like we've been watching him forever because we have.
Yeah.
I think he's been at F1 since he's been. Okay, did he race at 18? At the highest level?
Yeah.
I can't remember when he came in. Because that's pretty much right when
I'm pretty sure. I mean, yeah, didn't he come in like 17?
He was racing with Danny Rick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, I mean, he's in the, like, literally his prime. If last year wasn't his prime, like, this, like, stretch of him winning WDC is his prime. Like, I mean.
And if he has this year locked up, hypothetically, how many is that for him again?
If he wins this one, this is his fourth.
This will be his fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's chasing Lewis and Schumacher.
I imagine he would want. Now, will he break the record? I mean, obviously we'd have to like look in the future. I don't think he breaks.
We just don't know about 2026 yet. You do a little bit, and we'll probably table that.
It's just reg stuff. It doesn't tell me like who's going to be the best at making it because Newey is gone. That 2026 car is just a throw up in the air. Like I have no idea.
Right? Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah. No idea.
But with that, kind of who's going to be challenging them in McLaren, probably the rest of this season for sure, and probably next season, potentially for the Constructors, and maybe the Driver Championship next year, potentially.
That'd be nice.
But Andrea Stella extends his contract as the team principal.
Yep.
How do you feel about that move?
I feel good. I think he does a really good job. Excuse me. I didn't think there was anything wrong with our last... hour. I think there's anything wrong with their last team principal, but Stella has obviously he hasn't gotten them, but
questionable strategy.
Sure.
To argue some this season, strategy, which seems to happen with every team at least a couple times a year, right?
Yeah, but. Definitely. But he's doing a good job. He's gotten both drivers a win this year.
He has.
Like,
this is true.
Lando's first and Oscar's first.
Something to be said.
You know, I do think so. I mean, and the car is not getting worse. If anything, it's getting better each race. So, and he's not the only person behind these decisions, but he's definitely the face of them. And I think it's looking pretty good. I also like how I say the last guy because I can't remember his name because Zach Brown is always going to be the face of McLaren for me, even though he has, you know, he's not a team principal, but he's always there front and center. I like how their little setup goes where Zach is kind of like the face and then you have the team principal right behind him that's doing all like
the doing all the work. Hard stuff. Yeah, and Zach's just like soaking it all up.
Go golf? This is my racing company.
Let's go golf.
Let's go golfing.
Zach Brown, come on the show, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, McLaren is only 42 points behind Red Bull and the constructors. Mm-hmm. And again, if we're saying hypothetically, if Checo's finishing that 6th, 7th, but McLaren can consistently finish 2-3, 3-4. I think it's realistic that McLaren could win the constructors, which
got two winning drivers. Obviously, Sergio is a winning driver as well. But Oscar is like a force to be reckoned with. I feel like get him a good track, and he's aggressive. Outperform him.
He's aggressive.
He's still rookie-ish. He's got stuff to learn. Absolutely. Lando's got to get his starts correct,
dude.
Right. But
what is wrong with that?
I don't know.
In the video game, I'm horrible at starts.
Sure, yeah.
You know, doing it, you got to do the clutch, blah, blah, you know, whatever. I know how to drive a manual car, not an F1 car. But, like, so I get it.
Yeah.
But, like,
I don't know. I have literally no idea, but at least I think what's good.
It's not getting better, though. That's the thing.
It's not getting better, but for both drivers, it's very clear what they need to work on, and so they can. Whereas other drivers, like Checo, who's probably got a lot more things to work on, you know.
Drive the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Finish the race.
Just please finish the race. Please get into points.
Finishing points. You know? Yeah. And that's sad to think about. You're telling the second Red Bull car not to go back on Red Bull, and we're not, but tell the second car that just get in points, dude.
What?
Yeah. When the other car's winning the race.
That's
unacceptable.
That's why I went back to that like gap to Max is because that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it is unacceptable.
You're in a Red Bull. You're in a literal rocket.
And that's
ship.
What I mean. I think you're right. I think 2025, it's a different driver. He's still with Red Bull, but at Racing Bulls probably.
Yeah, that's.
Or he's. Can you move? So if they signed him, God dang it, I'm going down the rabbit hole. And then we're going to move on.
It's okay.
But if you sign, like they signed Checo to the deal, right? Can they put him in a reserve driver role on that same deal and sign somebody else?
I remember, I think this is something we touched on a little bit. I don't know if
that's a possibility or if that's how that works.
100% a possibility. It just, you know, depends on what the contract
is. Is the money the same? Like,
they probably got to pay him for what that contract is.
I'm sure part of it's guaranteed.
I mean, they got Danny.
I feel like F1 contracts are real.
Yeah, they paid Danny a ton for being a reserve driver, so I imagine they can do the same thing with Checo if they really wanted to.
Which wouldn't be a bad move and bring one of them up and put Liam in the whatever.
That would be so nice. I think, unfortunately, I don't know if Liam is getting a spot next year.
I don't know either.
I think Checo's probably going to take one of those spots because I imagine he wants to stay in the game.
So that actually leads me into our last topic, kind of. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Liam really quick, because if he doesn't get a seat next year, how does that change the course of his career? Because I think he's only signed through 2025 as the reserve. I thought I read somewhere I could be completely wrong. Let's say he is, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a seat in 2025, so now he's looking for a contract heading into 2026. Is there even a seat available at that point for him, you think?
Yeah.
Is a lower-tiered team going to take a shot at that point?
If
Liam? Red Bull hasn't?
Oh, I mean, I just feel like there are so many drivers and so many, like, I hate to say it, better options, more experienced options than Liam. People that have actually driven the car for full seasons.
And that's what Checo is going
over. Yeah.
His experience.
Exactly. And I think any team, unfortunately, would probably pick Checo over Liam just because 100%. He has the experience.
I probably would.
Yeah.
As much as I was just hating on Checo for the last 20 minutes.
So we're in this, like I said, yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. He's got the experience. He knows how to drive the car. He's not going to cost you, I mean, you know, he's going to cost you millions, but he's not going to cost you millions upon millions upon millions of damage. So Red Bull is, like you said, in such a weird space where you have two drivers at VCARB who are like, maybe they can make it at Red Bull. Maybe you have Checo who's not making it at Red Bull. So you had to swap him in for another driver that might not be able to perform as well as him. And then you got Liam who can't get a spot, but deserves a spot. And you got, I think his name is Isaac Hadjar in F2, who's doing really well.
He's having a good season.
Like, if it comes
good job
to
on the name, I think
if
that
it comes
is
to VCARB needing an extra driver, do they take Liam or do they take him? So it's such a weird
this season.
Spot
it's Liam
where, like,
for sure.
VCARB has the pick of their litter, and Red Bull is like there's a bouncer at the gate. Like, who knows who can be let into that seat?
Dude,
it's so weird.
That's gonna be tough.
Yeah,
I'm excited. That's why I'm saying, does Liam end up not having a seat? Ended up being a career reserve?
He might. I mean,
you know,
we see,
which is crazy.
Which,
like, is that a thing?
We saw. I'm losing his name. Last year he raced with AlphaTauri for half the season and he got booted. DeVries.
Oh,
we saw
Nick
DeVries. He was like a career-long reserve driver for the Mercedes kind of family. And then he got moved into that spot. He lasted half a year.
Yeah. He did not play well with
others. History to repeat themselves. Like, obviously, you know, you got onto a Red Bull team, VCARB or AlphaTauri at that team. If you don't perform minus Checo, you're out.
But I mean,
simply put,
we're in agreement. So you're not putting Liam in the Red Bull next year.
That would be crazy. I would be very surprised if they put Liam in a Red Bull over Yuki or Danny.
Or Danny. That's what I mean.
That would be insane. That'd be crazy. So if one of those VCARB drivers get that seat, Liam is probably getting the VCARB seat.
I would think so.
Unless for some reason Isaac just continues to have a crazy good F2 season and they consider
him. That's tough.
Yeah.
He's really young too. I think he's like 18 or 17.
He's like really the definition of a driver that needs to be in the VCARB or like the Red Bull sister team.
You think so, huh?
Oh, 100%. Like if he's doing so good, like they want him. I'm sure they want him in the VCARB. Right?
Is he leading F2 in points?
I
can't remember.
I know he
is doing very well.
I just know
the name's very
really
familiar
well.
To me.
I just know he's doing really well. I'm not sure if he's leading or not. But yeah, I would obviously hope Liam gets another chance. You know, he got
Zandvoort leading.
He is leading.
He's leading by like 34 points.
jeez. Yeah, Zandvoort is another, Zandvoort is actually the first race that he took part in last year. Mm-hmm. When, because that was the same race that, or that was the same weekend that Danny got his injury.
Right.
So he had to step out. Yeah, it would be, man, it's such a weird situation. There's like too many drivers for VCAR, but not enough drivers for Red Bull.
And I'm starting to think we're not going to know the Red Bull seat until the season's done.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, we're just not going to know.
Yeah.
And technically right now there is no Red Bull seat open. We're talking like there is. Technically there's not. There's a V-carb seat open, which is where we could see Liam. But yeah. I don't know.
To kind of bring Tyler kind of like bring through me for a little bit, maybe Checo retires at the end of the year. Maybe it's like, you know, they make it a big PR thing.
Nah. Unless they're like,
if he's retiring, it's because they're giving him a ton of money.
I was just saying, unless Red Bull's like, here, buddy, either you retire or you're out of the seat. But you can come out and say that you're retiring, and we're cool with that.
If
we'll
you
back
retire right now, we will give you the car.
Yeah, right?
As a retirement gift.
Crashes it on the way out. Alpine seat. Gasly's partner, we're thinking, Jack. Is it Doohan?
Yeah. So we said it was either I had mentioned it's more than likely Doohan. Possible other option is for me is going to be Mick Schumacher.
Oh, that's right. There was that dark horse too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I forget Mick's still out there.
Yep. And that's only because of this like weird like relationship that Toto has with Alpine that I don't understand.
Mick and the Red Bull 2025.
I don't know what that is, but he got Ocon that seat, so like it you know, history could repeat itself. But I think they should give it to Doohan. He's the one that's been testing the car. It just makes sense that he gets put into it.
100%. No, I agree with that. I think that's exactly what we're gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
A seat that's now kind of becoming more of a question mark. But now I was reading rumors this morning that were kind of saying that Sauber's kind of at the point now that they have to either go with Bottas or Zhou for their second seat at this point. Mm-hmm. You almost have to, just for at least next season.
Yep. I kind of expected one of them to get retained anyway. After hearing that Sainz wasn't coming aboard, mm-hmm. I was like, well, it's like the driver ranking so limited, and if they do get a contract up, do they stay for Audi?
I don't think so. I think if it's Bottas or Zhou, I'm saying Zhou. Wow,
that's okay.
Zhou.
Everyone does.
I think if it's one of those, it's just for 2025.
Mm.
Like seriously, unless you want to be really nice to Bottas, but there's some former Dutch driver today that came out and it's on my other computer. That came out and said something about how he thinks that Bottas is just taking up space and how he needs to pretty much retire. And, I'm like, what?
I mean, crazy.
Like, yes, he hasn't done anything this year, but neither is Zhou.
The Sauber is a bad
neither is the car. Right.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you put Bottas in like a really, like, probably the worst car from the best car. Like, it's, you know. He's only going to be
the best car at the time for sure. He left
100%
for sure. So who do you go with then if it's between the two?
Bottas, if you want the experience and you want someone to, well, no, because you got Nico. Nico's already a veteran, right?
But like, are you treating Nico like the number one and try to, you know, play as a team for 2025 to prepare for 2026? So therefore, maybe you sign Bottas to a multi-year.
So now remembering that Nico is there, Nico's there. He's the veteran. So I would say Bottas if you want more experience and you want probably better position. But Zhou if you want the money, I think, because I think he brings in a lot of money for that team.
Mm, sure. That's right. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, putting on my tinfoil hat, you get Mick in there.
Yeah, I knew
you
it.
Get Mick in there. You got a German team, two German drivers, and a... I don't know, Oliver Oaks, I think he's British.
I mean, it wouldn't be...
yeah. <well.
laughs> No, but that is a good point. Maybe they do give Mick a shot for 2025, see if that's who they want to sign.
Maybe.
For...
I mean, I think Mick would be funny enough, even though he's just a reserve driver. Mick would be like a 2026 contract in my fantasy tinfoil hat. But yeah, that seat, I think you're right. I think it's probably going to be one of the current drivers. I just don't know which one they're going to go with. Which it would suck if Bottas did not get picked, but I can understand
Bottas to Mercedes.
I'm just kidding. That's another seat that's still open.
I know.
They have not
confirmed
Antonelli.
That's the last seat that we got to talk about. But
oh my gosh.
I do feel like Antonelli, I mean, we've been talking about him all year. It's pretty much bound to happen. But the comment after the one race that he won sticks with me. Like, I just don't,
doesn't feel like he's
I don't
ready.
Know if I feel like I'm ready or whatever. I'm like, there's your answer. Like, for me, right? Then leave him at F2 for another year and make sure. Or are they afraid, like Tyler always brought up, are they afraid he's going to get poached?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's tough. But you do have Bottas maybe lurking out there. That could be a great number two to George, maybe.
Yeah.
On a Mercedes car that's getting better.
Yeah, that's so interesting. We were talking before the ep started about how, like, most things have, like, you know,
settled down now.
Settled down,
and now
but,
we're
looking ahead,
darn
we're like,
it.
Oh my gosh, there's still so much that has to be announced. A lot of it we kind of know what's going to happen, but, like, there's still so much unknown. Yeah, so, I mean, if for some reason Antonelli doesn't get brought up, it's got to be Bottas and the Mercedes.
At this point,
right? Like,
that is the only person I would consider unless Vettel's going to be like, hey, like, I don't, not Mick.
I'm going to say,
not Mick, no, not Mick Schumacher.
He's the reserve driver, right? So it only, like, makes sense. The thing is, like, I'm not saying Mick is not first pick for any of these spots, in my opinion, whatsoever, but there are connections to each of them that could be made.
Cool, I'm signing Mick in the Merc, and then I'm going to switch him and Carlos immediately.
I mean, I sound like the biggest Mick Schumacher fan this episode,
yes.
Which is crazy. But, like, there are, like, you see, I told you, though, my tinfoil, like, you can see this, like, this map with all the red lines
Kev,
there.
We need to get a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, I'm actually...
Shout out, Kev, by the way.
Yeah, I'll make a tinfoil hat of one of these.
You should, and then you should put it on. And you're going to have a tinfoil hat moment.
There Perfect. Was actually a moment, I think, right before the break where I was very, like, considering wrapping one of my hats in tinfoil.
You should,
it.
And bring it.
I will.
Yes.
I will definitely bring Done. Those and have more of those crazy, Done. Crazy moments.
Done.
But, yeah, I'm excited for the rest of the season. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that extra Merc seat. I think it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense and it doesn't make sense that Antonelli gets it. But, like, what other choice do you have right now?
I think in my fantasy land, and then we'll close out.
Yeah.
Our summer break recap here, but I think in my fantasy land, I'd love to see Bottas in it just to see if he can still perform at that level and see if he could help George maybe get to that next level or not. I don't know, because I think, God, this is going to open up a can of worms really quick. I'm not sure how committed Mercedes is to George long-term. Like, they seem like they are right now. Are they committed to George for 2025? Absolutely. They're all in. Chips, you know, but he's only signed through 2025. I think he could get another contract from Merc, but past that, it would depend on performance, obviously. But does he even get that next contract from Merc? Do you think they're fully committed to George Russell heading into 2026?
Absolutely, 100% they are. There is no way George is not racing for Mercedes. I'll even go one further. There's no way he's not racing for Mercedes in 2027, even.
Okay.
He's there for a while. He's got to be. He's been driving the car now.
Been grooming him for a minute.
They have.
He was at Williams for a minute.
He's at Williams for a minute. Yeah. He's been at Mercedes now for 2 years, right?
At least.
He knows the car. He's now performed. Last year, he was definitely the second driver last year.
For sure.
He's performing this year.
Yeah, he is.
He's not going anywhere. He is the person they need in that seat. No matter who his second driver is, Bottas, they need Russell still. Because Bottas, what if it isn't the car in Sauber? What if he's just
dead in the water? Boom, Antonelli.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I actually weirdly think Antonelli is probably the better pick just because they can look forward with him. Whereas with Bottas, they're just kind of counting their days a little bit, you know?
So real quick before we depart.
Yeah.
Or not depart, but move on. If it is Antonelli, what would your realistic expectation be for him in that Mercedes car, not knowing how the car is going to perform in 2025 compared to the Ferrari, the McLaren, and the Red Bull? We have no idea.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see him finish, let's say, in the driver points by the end of the season if they go Antonelli? I know this is way too early to be talking about this because he's not in the seat, but just...
I mean, just knowing, like, Mercedes' track record and how bad they do early season recently and how they kind of bring it back late season... I would expect him by end of season, he should be at least eighth. I think.
Okay, I had seventh in my brain.
Yeah.
So we're close.
I just think, like, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, obviously he's going to get a little time to prep for it, but I'm thinking like Oliver Bearman, like he jumped in for a race and he was in a Ferrari. So he got points, but he had to really fight for those points.
I can't jump on that bandwagon yet.
Oliver Bearman.
Yeah. I'd like to see more from him. Obviously great race. It was awesome. It was awesome to see. I was really excited. Obviously solidified him getting the seat. Yeah. He's with Haas now, right?
That's yeah.
another team I should jump on the bandwagon. I should just get everybody's hat. Might as well. But I don't know. That's another rabbit hole. Oh my God. I'm gonna go diving down.
I love talking about this stuff though. It's super fun. So yeah, you know, I mean, but yeah, eighth is what I expect. He should be consistently getting points. Doesn't have to be a lot of points, but he should be getting points.
For sure.
Start of the season, next year entirely, Russell will be his target. We need to see how he performs compared to Russell, not the rest of the field. Let Russell set the standard for the Mercedes.
Even as a brand new rookie coming in,
you don't compare
him to different car, right? You don't compare him to Oliver Bearman or Jack Doohan if he's in a car, the other rookies of that year. Or is that like unfair to them because it's a different car?
I guess you definitely do.
If he's finishing worse than them, that's a problem.
Point. No, that's an incredible point. You definitely do need to compare the rookies together because, and then obviously keeping their car performance in mind, right? So if Jack Doohan, or if, rather even Oliver, if Oliver starts getting more points than Antonelli, that's bad.
That's really, a red flag.
Really, really
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, yeah, not good.
But I only say that George is like the standard because he is now that like George, what he races, this is crazy to say. And it's like, it makes me want to open so many more cans of worms.
No, don't do it.
I won't. I'm still going to say it, but I won't open any of those cans. Next year, George is the fastest Mercedes can go. Just straight up. He is the standard. So whatever he does, Antonelli is going to be judged against that just to see how much he has to grow.
As a number one driver, I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. Right. There's no more Lewis, right? And I think right now, George and Lewis are already kind of there. It's nice to see that they're already right there with each other. So we know next season, it should be pretty close to what the best Mercedes could do is, you know, obviously with the driver in mind.
Right.
So, yeah, he's going to be judged against George. I don't think he's going to be judged by the rest of the field except for the rookies just to see
100%
how
I wouldn't compare him to Max. I wouldn't compare him to like
not.
Charles Leclerc. Like it's just not. No, it's not
and
fair.
And I would only compare him to rookies to a certain point, you know, like just like a quick temp check on if we made the right choice. Then it's just growing and getting the best performance out of your car as you can.
Because they're not just making this choice all willy-nilly. They've been planning this for years, you know, down the line. They've been, you know, grooming them. Like they already know who they've wanted in the car. They've done all the research. They've done their homework. Like, so that's a good point.
I might even retract my statement a little bit and say he should almost only be compared to George because he's in the Mercedes, right?
And that's where the car makes the difference.
So if the car somehow becomes a Williams and you know, the other teams go up, right? He's only going to be as good as George can be. That's why.
So if the other rookies, let's say, are finishing in front of George as well, that's a problem
for Mercedes.
Yeah. And then if they're finishing in front of Antonelli and nowhere near George, now that's a problem that Antonelli's having.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bierman's finishing in front of Antonelli, that's a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. But again, it just depends on how the car is doing. I don't think there's going to be that much drop off.
But like, do we see Jack Doohan climb up there? I mean,
the Alpine's been so weird. It's like it wants to be good on some days and other days it doesn't.
The Alpine's unpredictable. Yeah, straight so up. Unpredictable. It's so unpredictable. yay, Gasly. Anyway.
God, I love F1, dude.
Oh, God.
I love this sport so much.
With that, let's just wrap our summer break, kind of a recap of summer break. And we'll head to our Dutch preview where Joe's obviously got his masterpiece.
Let's do it.
We call it. And with that, we have the Dutch Grand Prix preview. Actually, I think is it the Heineken something or other?
I got the name.
Oh, he's got it. You know what, Joe? Why don't you just take it away?
Yeah, we're heading to the Netherlands for the Dutch Grand Prix. This year's Grand Prix is called the Formula One Heineken Dutch Grand Prix 2024. Nice and easy.
Yeah, that is simple.
Got the name, the year.
What is the Emirates? How do you say the
Emirates?
Emirates? Emirates?
Emirates,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why that Emirates Emirates Airways, blah blah blah. Yeah.
It's the the Monza. Oh, yeah. All right. So talking about the Dutch Grand Prix, just some fun facts per usual. Zandvoort is the, if anyone doesn't know, is the track with all of those banking corners.
NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly. So, in lieu of, like, actually, kind of compared to that, the final corner features an 18-degree banking, which is almost double the number seen at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Wow. Well, Indy's very flat. Yeah, Indy's very flat.
Fair enough. Okay.
For a, like, I can't even call it an oval. It's more like a rectangle because they got four big old turns.
Okay.
Now the road course obviously is a little different inside, but if you're just doing the speedway, that doesn't surprise me. Those turns are really banked, but those Indy cars still send them.
I wonder how it compares. So it's like the Indianapolis banking is not as much as like another, like Daytona.
No.
So I wonder how
Daytona
those compare
is extremely
then.
Banked.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Can imagine the nightmare setup on a car, like a stock car for Indy, and then you go to like Daytona or something. I can't imagine.
Oh,
probably completely different.
Super
just
fair.
Like every track's different for F1 too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So since the Dutch GP has been back on the calendar, it's only been 3 years. Max has taken all of the pole positions and has won all of the races. So is this the weekend to dethrone the king at his castle?
No.
It was a little cheesy, but we'll get into it. So again, starting grid, Max, followed by Lando and then George, with a surprise, Alex Albon in fourth in the Williams. Very interesting qualifying session for him. He got up to fourth. This is a very interesting race. We'll kind of get into it. Off the line on dry tires, while the rain starts to drizzle onto the track, we saw everyone keep it in one piece through the first corner and through most of the lap. Max already with a decent head start on Lando. From fifth, Alonso makes it past both Albon and Russell in a banking hairpin of turn three. By the end of lap one, the drizzle, the starting line turned into what looks like a complete downpour. Everyone passes the pit lane, but at the end of that lap, a couple drivers finally decide to take the pit stop for inters to help fend off that rain. While some of our runners pit, Alonso overtakes Norris on the wet track for second place. This is a huge mix of strategies throughout the entire field. We saw some people decide to stay out and hope for the rain to clear, while others continue to pit to fend off the rain. At this point, however, the inters were much faster. Perez, who made the earlier inter choice, passed everyone ahead on the dries to take first position. By lap six, majority of the field had switched to inters. Soft runners and those who took the late pit stop were paying for it. Perez was still in first with Joe in second, who was up 13 places, just again based on pit strategy. And Verstappen climbing back to third, 13 seconds away from Perez. He gets past Joe on lap seven. Short bit of rain, very heavy rain, but short bit, and this track dries up very quickly, so we get DRS enabled back on lap 11, and we're pitting for slicks again to begin. Max pits for those slicks on the next lap, having made over 10 seconds to Perez within those six laps. Perez pits on the next lap, giving Max the lead of the race while he's inside the pit lane. Everyone is now on softs, except for Joe, who's on mediums. On lap 16, Logan found his natural resting place into the wall, bringing out the full safety car.
His natural resting place.
Leclerc retired the car in lap Leclerc retired the car on lap 43 after taking some damage at the start of the race. And on lap 49, Alonso has some pit stop troubles, being held up for 8.3 seconds. This allows Sainz ahead. He fights for the last podium position on lap 52 as he takes back from his fellow Spaniard. On lap 62, we find the rain coming down hard once again. All the drivers switch to inters fairly quickly. 63, Sergio Perez double front locks at the end of the starting straight. He spins, hits the wall, and pushes the barriers back slightly. Doesn't look like he takes any damage here except for the emotional damage of losing that second position. Later in the same
emotional
lap.
Damage.
Yep, emotional damage. Same lap. Joe is seen at the exact same spot Perez hit the wall, except Joe is completely buried into it, ending his race and bringing out the red flag.
Unbelievable.
At the restart, lap 67 of 72, everyone is on inters. Perez is given a penalty for speeding in the pit lane earlier in the race, so he will need to get 5 seconds ahead of Gasly to keep the final podium position, but he cannot make up that time. Max crosses 3.4 seconds ahead of second place, which was Alonso, after a hectic home Grand Prix. So we got a Verstappen, Alonso, Gasly, Perez pushed to fourth for his penalty, and then Sainz, making Max's ninth consecutive win.
Boom.
That matched the record for Vettel.
Oh, really?
It did.
Interesting. I got something for you.
Yeah.
That's going to really mess with stuff. I looked up the weather.
Is it going to be rainy?
It is going to be rainy on Friday.
Okay.
And a little bit on Saturday.
Mm.
It is, how do I say it? Zandvoort?
Mm-hmm.
Netherlands?
Yep.
It is, let's see how, 50% chance kind of Saturday. Fridays probably won't happen.
Friday's only practice, so.
But Saturday, yeah, Saturday we got 50% rain. Yeah, Sunday looks good, though. Sunday looks good.
It's too bad.
I know, it would have been made it a little bit more interesting.
I mean, that race last year was a bit crazy. It just, like, you know, was dry and then rainy and then dry again. And then
that just really throws a wrench into, like, any strategy. Now, I'm sure, like we mentioned, I'm sure you have plan A, B, C, D, E for all these other, you know, things in the race. Like,
yep.
Like coaching a football game. It's 3rd and 4, and I'm going to call this play for sure on 3rd and 4. You know, you got your list of strategies.
Yeah, and the weather just made it really interesting because, like I said, this track dries so quickly that there were cars will just, like, we should just wait out this rain, drive slowly on these softs, and then when it comes to softs, we don't have to pit again. But it was so wet that they had to pit. So it makes us some very interesting strategy calls. I think, like, some of the people caught out was, like, McLaren. Lando started in 2nd, but I think he finished in, like, 7th or something like that just because he stayed on in softs too long. So very, very interesting in terms of strategy. Too bad it's not going to be a wet race, but I still think it should be an interesting one.
I think... interesting, to say the least. It's definitely going to be interesting. I don't want to get into predictions quite yet. I do think Max will win the race again. It's just a spot, man. It's just a spot. Checo. Where do you realistically see him finishing this week? I would like to think in points.
I actually think this is not a comeback weekend, but I definitely think he's going to do better than he
has
been doing.
Bounce back weekend, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe he's like top 6, probably.
I hope so. That's what I'm saying. He's got to finish that 6th, and then if I'm going to give him pity points, it's going to be 7th. I don't know. We got to see it from him this weekend. Can the McLarens, or Oscar, really, can one of the McLarens actually catch Max here? Is it actually a realistic possibility?
It's going to be so tough. I mean, at this point last year, the McLarens weren't the best car, but they were getting better. And Max still cleaned up here easily. So I don't think there's any way Max doesn't win. If someone else does win instead of Max, that would be wild.
Yeah, I would think so.
But
changing of the guard.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a McLaren car.
Yeah. Oh,
If like George or Lewis somehow pulled it off, or Charles, which I don't think is going to happen, but if like a Merck somehow won, it'd be like, oh, okay. But like if McLaren beats Red Bull at Max's track, like I don't know. It makes 2025 more interesting right off the bat for
especially
me, which is already
right,
going
right
to be
after
more interesting.
The summer break, like it's just like a tonal shift, right? The end of the season's going to be different.
Yeah.
Like, think about the DTS storyline.
This race would be... this would be a tone setter, though. If McLaren 100%. Comes out of break and beats Max at his own track, that is a tone setter. That is a tone setter. We are in for a ridiculous second half.
That would be so crazy. That being said, though, Max is very good at this track. I don't think he's going to lose it.
There is that.
Yeah.
So, why don't you give us... So, Cole obviously is not here with us tonight, but he did give us his predictions. And so did Tyler. We're going to keep Tyler in the standings just in case he's able to return for us by the end of the season. So why don't you go ahead with Cole's predictions?
Yeah.
Again, Cole's, this is just for the podium. There's no bonus points this week. We'll go back to the bonus points next week.
Yep, yeah.
So this is just straight up podium. Who we got?
Yep. Cole's prediction is Hamilton, Norris, and George.
Which is
not
wild.
No, wild. Max is not on that podium.
I wonder, did I tell him? Is it in there? Did I say it's a Dutch GP? No. That's up to him for not looking. Well, I'm sorry. Lewis, who and who?
Lewis, Lando, and George.
Lando and George, yeah. That's insane. You better hope Lando wins. And that at least George gets podium, or Lewis. Joe, what is your podium going to be?
My podium is obviously Max. And then just kind of throwing out two, you know, competitors, Lando and George.
Lando and George.
Yep. I was thinking about, I think initially I had Lewis on there, but he had a little bit of trouble last year. Okay. I think here, so I'm just gonna go with George. Just hope for the best.
Fair enough. Tyler, in no particular order again. However, interestingly enough, he sent Lando first, but Lando, Max, Charles,
Ferrari comeback,
which is interesting. It would be interesting if Ferrari was. Does he know something we don't? I did not see anything about any upgrades for Ferrari coming out of break.
Neither. They're falling behind and they didn't look strong this point last season, so I think they're probably still going to be, you know, third team on the grid.
Third team on the grid?
Yeah. Behind or four? Sorry, third or fourth
team. Okay. Yeah, so I'm thinking they're fourth. I think they're.
Well, I mean, you got Checo, who isn't, you know.
I know he's not really. That's so what I mean. That's
like,
what I mean.
They're third and a half.
If Checo can do his job for me the rest of this season, beat Ferrari is doing your job for me, for Checo. If you can at least beat Ferrari, you know, but. Oh my God. Yeah, Checo.
Yep.
God. It annoys me. I'm going to go with Max, Lando, Oscar. I think I know. That's why I was waiting for you to say it. I was like, darn it, I'm going to have to change it up to make it interesting. But I'm glad you did it.
Oscar had a really good last race. I think, you know, we just got to cool off a little bit.
Yeah, you guys got to cool off. I haven't been choosing them, so I'm going to go ahead and take my risk.
Yeah.
As it stands for our standings heading into this race, Cole's actually leading, but he's not here, so we don't count that. Tyler comes in second, 1 point behind Cole. He's not here, we don't count that. And then me, 2 points behind Tyler, so I'm in first. No, I'm in third. And then Joe's bringing it up, but he's only 4 points behind me at 21.
Oh, God, that's awful.
I said only.
Like, you guys are like 1 point, well, Cole, and then 2 points.
Hey, you got to chip away. You got to focus on me first before you go step up to the big dog, Cole.
I used to be at the top.
That's true. That's true. I was taking risks early, and now look at me. Well, I'm only in third, too. But... Oh my God.
I'm the Ferrari of this podium prediction.
Yeah, for sure.
Strong at the moment. The gate and falling behind.
You're going to need some upgrades.
Actually, I'm probably the Aston Martin of this podium prediction.
Just consistently
super strong at the front and then just consistently awful this season.
Consistently awful.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts for the Dutch GP here?
I'm just really happy to be back. I'm looking forward to F1. I had a blast talking to have fun with you today.
For sure.
That, a lot of Checo talk. We're going to be watching him very, very closely.
We're on a Checo watch right now. I think we're on a Checo watch until the beginning of next season, or at least till off season, and see if there's any rumblings this off season.
I mean,
I think it's going to be quiet immediately.
Probably quiet pretty close to the end, but I mean... Last off season, Hamilton moved to Ferrari. So
I know, and that was
going to happen off season.
Yeah. So on the Checo watch for the rest of the season. But obviously, thanks for being here today, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have Cole back with us next week as we recap the Dutch GP. With that, obviously, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banter. And we'll see you next week on Fast Laps.
See you.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.